It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, August 24th. I'm Patricia Naft. Broadband was on the minds of Colorado's top state officials at a community forum in Montrose last week. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
A lack of access to high-speed internet is an issue for rural communities in western Colorado. Western Slope leaders say it hinders economic development. Governor John Hickenlooper echoed this sentiment at a recent town hall meeting in Montrose.
I always call it the inverse square rule, right? You've got the smaller populations are the farthest away from where the fiber line already exists. So we've got to figure out how to get that middle mile everywhere that, you know, allows those smaller communities to attract professionals who want to start a little business there, because you can't do a business today without the internet.
Earlier this month, the state awarded a $5.2 million grant to develop better broadband access in Montrose and Delta counties. The Colorado Department of Local Affairs distributed the funds. Irv Halter, the agency's executive director, talked about the grant at the forum.
And that will help get broadband through the middle mile and out in this region even further.
DOLA also awarded San Miguel County $330,000 for a project to boost internet speeds. However, Hickenlooper says minimal funding is holding the state back from doing more on the broadband front.
Our problem is, you know, we're going to be giving refunds next year. Even at the same time, we have $900 million that we owe to the K-12 education system. So trying to say, all right, well, we need an extra, I think reliably, we should have an extra $30 or $40 million a year to do broadband outreach to rural Colorado. I mean, that's difficult. That's very, very difficult.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
As wildfires continue to rage in the Northwest, Colorado has had a relatively mild season. It's unsure, though, if it will stay that way. As part of the project I See Change, KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Wade Hansen lives just outside of Cortez, Colorado. Earlier this month, he noticed a fire on the horizon.
And I looked up and saw the ute. I can see the ute from my front door. Saw the very distinctive smoke that we're all used to seeing sometimes. And then went about my day and watched it, you know, and was pretty distracted the rest of my day with my regular comings and goings, just, you know, watching the sky and watching it grow and watching it get darker and bigger. And chest tightens up a little, and you know that something's about to hit the fan, you know. But it's a tough thing to see, because we've all been close to it.
He wasn't in danger, but knows the cost these fires have. Thankfully, easy access to water and some well-timed rain helped put the fire down. The rain got Wade thinking. In years past, rain meant lots of grass, and lots of grass means fire.
We've got this potential fuel if we have a dry fall, and we will. We'll have a dry stretch in the fall. We're having a dry stretch right now. It'll dry out and become fuel. So I wonder about that.
Definitely asks an excellent question, and something we've been concerned about since the spring and early summer months.
That's Tim Matheson. He's a meteorologist who works to create models and predict what the fire season's going to look like. He said that Wade's not the only one who's been thinking about all that grass in Colorado.
Typically, when we have a lot of moist conditions, it results in abundant grass, and that's what we see this year. Probably the most significant grass crop we've seen in the last decade across Colorado. And we've already seen the grass dry out.
That fuel that's built up will definitely dry out more and more in the next few months, and the weather at that time won't help.
And we also start to see an increase in frequency of dry cold fronts across much of the Rocky Mountain area, including Colorado. So those dry cold fronts typically bring warm, dry, windy conditions ahead of them before it cools down behind it. And with the amount of grasses we have this year, that really exacerbates the problem.
One of the things that makes the fall season not so bad in Colorado is the storms. Lightning strikes drop off significantly around that time, and without a spark, there's no fire. That is, if no one else starts one.
A lot of our fall fires, unfortunately, come from human ignition, and overall outcome of fall fire season is really dependent on ignition.
This fall season mostly will depend on how many fires get started, and the landscape is primed to burn quick. Looking into the future, things get trickier.
Core fire season is June through August. That's our typical summer fire season. It peaks in mid-July, then it decreases as we get into August, and the southwest monsoon generates a wet thunderstorm activity across our state. And then we see a little bit of a bump up in the fall of fire season as we get the dry cold front. So the idea behind climate change and global warming would be that it would lengthen our fire season, so it'd start earlier and end later.
Already, major fires are happening every month of the year in Colorado. That makes predicting fires and fighting them a lot harder. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
If you've seen any fires or if you have questions about what the year will hold, let us know at icchange.org. From Washington, D.C. to the Rocky West, the debate over public lands is abuzz again. This time, the focal point is honeybees. KVNF's Jake Ryan sat down with High Country News reporter Gloria Dickey, who's been covering the issue.
There's this new debate over bees on public lands. Mm-hmm. Could you kind of tell us where that all started?
Right. So the Obama administration released their pollinator strategy this past May, and in it they call for increased access to public lands for beekeepers. These permits have existed for quite some time, but there aren't many of them. And the issue lies in the fact that honeybees actually are not native to the United States. They've been here since the 1600s or so and are more so treated like livestock. And so some conservationists are concerned about placing a non-native species in habitat that's often frequented by endangered native bumblebees.
Wow, so the native bumblebees here in Colorado and the rest of the West aren't doing too great?
No, they've really they've been affected by a lot of disease like other bees. Although colony collapse, that's sort of distinct to honeybees, but there's habitat loss, and honeybees can actually spread diseases and pathogens to native bumblebees. So things like deformed wing virus. They can also outcompete bumblebees for resources. And another interesting thing is that because honeybees are non-native, there's some research that shows they have a preference for pollinating other invasive plants.
But there are other livestock we talked about that are on public lands, cattle,
right.
Horses.
Right. And so that's sort of the argument that beekeepers are making is that if we're allowing sheep and we're allowing cattle onto public lands, some 20,000 grazing permits exist for those species across the country, then we should be allowing bees as well.
Why is there such a push for pollinators?
Honeybees have been impacted by colony collapse disorder, large declines across the country in recent years. There's a lot of issues with pesticides on farmland, which is one of the reasons that beekeepers really want access to public lands is because they're typically more pristine. Their honeybees aren't running into those same chemicals there.
What's going to happen? How is this going to come to a head?
Well, right now they've sort of released a best practices for beekeeping on federal land document. And in that, it says to pay attention to sensitive ecosystems and sensitive species that may be near hives. But it's really still a case-by-case basis for Bureau of Land Management offices or National Forest offices to decide whether or not to issue a permit. Typically, things like environmental impact studies are done first, but there's still no clear-cut way whether or not the pollinator strategy will ultimately change this. It sort of remains to be seen.
That was KVNF's Jake Ryan talking with High Country News reporter Gloria Dickey, who recently wrote an article about the debate over bees on federal land. Stay tuned for the Monday Morning Music Mix with Sparkle Pony. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.